Blog Talk Radio.
Orny Dynasty, Nigeria.
There's a world outside every darkened door where the brave are free and lovers soar. Come ride with me to the distant shore.
Life is a highway. I wanna ride it all night long.
Ever since there were cars, Americans have had a love affair with the open road. And with quality gasoline and great snacks coast to coast, Valero is your perfect travel companion. Valero, the all-American gasoline for the all-American love affair.
What up, Dan? Not raw.
All the better things to make you try to hurt me.
Couldn't have said it more better. Y'all some jealous ass bastards. Blame it on the weather. Don't need instructions, dude. My shit been together. Got my grind going hand in hand with dope peddling. Beating down them drums way before the sun pop up. Been grinding since way back, so you hate when I pop up. Walnut colored Benz, low mama riding shotgun.
His face looks funny in a reflection of that rim, huh?
Does. You hate me cause my kick thump harder than yours. Snag crack harder than yours. Baseline bonkers, you got to be bonkers. The fuck with the ball, ball. It's the only thing I can think of. Why motherfuckers hate me so much. Not the big dime. Two in a row, it's the realest nigga still pumping that shit from the underground.
All the vanity would make you try.
And D&D, all about my business, EPMD, Knott's Raw, he's the DMP, and y'all a bunch of new jacks in the city, CMB,
that's right,
I'm from the blocks where no man speak, it's a motherfucking jungle, Mozambique, where the weak get preyed on,
right,
they go to church, where the weak get preyed on, listen, cause vanity can incite calamity, knowing on the trigger is where a hater's
hand to be,
my soldiers got me covered like humanity, be. So you should watch your posture and your manner be. Cause down the block, that's where your manner be. When it pops off from the hand of me, it's insanity and blasphemy. A blasphemy will lead to a catastrophe.
Peace and blessings. You're now on with Sister Bessie's Front Porch out of Lagos, Nigeria, WW Blog Talk Radio, Adama Network. Dial 516-453-9133. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. My listeners, tonight I have a guest for you, an interview with Deop Olegbola, from No Cop Zone, Black Community Control of Law Enforcement. Can we do anything about it? That's my title for this show. Brother Diop, are you there?
Come on. Yes, I'm here, Sister Bessie. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Brother Yahura. I would like to introduce you to my audience by you describing your organization.
Yes, of course. As you stated, my name is Diop Olubala. I'm the chair of the Black Community Control of Police Working Group for the Black is Bad Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations. And the Black is Bad Coalition was founded in the year 2009 under the leadership of Chairman Omali Yeshitela, as well as other revolutionaries and democratic activists from throughout the country. And in 2009, these forces came together recognizing that the election. You have to understand in 2008, Barack Hussein Obama was selected as the U.S. president. And we, as the Black Hispanic Coalition, or members who ended up joining it, part of what brought us all together was recognition of the fact that Barack Obama, although he's black or black man or African, represents the interests of white capitalist power. And we thought it was important for the black community and the black liberation movement to take a verbal and a public stance of criticism of Obama and to expose him as a strategy of the Democratic Party and of white imperialist power as a whole, strategy designed to essentially placate the masses of African people, to silence or pacify the masses of African people throughout not only the U.S., but oppressed people around the world who were engaged in a lot of struggle with the U.S. government at the time. And so it was important that we provide leadership to our people and recognizing and exposing the fact that although he's black, Barack Obama is the same, represents the same interest that every other U.S. president did. And that's not the interest of black people. So in the year 2009, we came together and united all of these different organizations under one coalition umbrella. And the principles around which we unite include, of course, black self-determination, meaning that black people must have the right to be a self-governing and self-determined people. However, we also are anti-imperialist, meaning that we are not only concerned about the struggle for our own liberation as black people, but we also stand in unity with the world's oppressed people who are victims of the same white imperialist aggression that we experience. And, you know, that includes the people of Palestine, Mexico, and other oppressed people around the world. Uhuru.
Thank you. Well, you answered my question already about how you would, how it was created and your purpose. What is your opinion on the law enforcement in our black communities today?
Well, I'm glad that you call it law enforcement because that's a very precise and scientific way to explain what the police are. And what is also important to recognize is that the law that the police enforce is essentially the opinion of the ruling forces, of the ruling class in U.S. capitalist society. And when we talk about the ruling capitalist class, we're talking about the sons and daughters of slave masters, the founders of the U.S. government and this entire U.S. capitalist project that, as we know, was founded on the pedestal of the colonial genocide of the indigenous people. Some people call them the Indians or Native Americans who used to preside over this land by the millions and were literally wiped out by the U.S. government and military. And this system, this government, was also founded on the colonial enslavement of black people. This is the origins of the U.S. government and the law. In fact, law in any society is essentially the opinion of the forces that rule or dictate over that society. And so in a society that is founded on slavery and genocide, the law itself will only be a reflection or will be an instrument or the opinion of the forces that rule over that system. And that's what the police are today. The police are in the early stages of the U.S. Were slave catchers. And as we know, slavery was legal. And if a runaway slave was to run away and try to escape slavery, they would send the police to capture them or to execute them, as they did our hero, heroic comrade Nat Turner. And today, yes.
Yes, and they also used the dogs the same way they used back then.
Right.
I did want to
just respond a little bit more to that question you raised about my opinion of law enforcement, because when we say no cop zone and black community control of police, some of our critics may say, well, if you don't have police, then what are you going to do? There'll be chaos and lawlessness, and et cetera. We need the police to keep things, quote unquote, calm. But it's important to understand that when we talk about black community control of the police, our strategic objective is the withdrawal of this occupying military force known as the police, and the right to mobilize for our own security and to solve our own problems as a people. And again, our primary criticism, the reason we say no cop zone, is because the police is the force that stands between hungry, poor, disenfranchised African people, black people, and the resources and freedom that we need. If you don't have enough money to pay for food to feed your family, and as a last resort, you go into the store and you take some without paying for it, they call the police. If you don't have enough money to pay the landlord, ultimately, the landlord will get the state involved, and they will have the sheriff or the police department come forcefully evict you from your home. And, you know, the police at every corner, when we talk about what it is required for black people to survive in this country, the police is the instrument that stands between black people and the resources that we need. So this is the basis of our criticism of police and why we demand that they be they withdraw from our community, and we demand reparations and power over our own lives.
Okay, now when you thank you, brother. When you go into the communities to speak to people in the community, what are you suggesting to them to do?
Well, we strongly believe that this problem will only be solved, and no cop zones will only be established as a consequence of the black community being organized, because the police, the state, cannot function in the same way that they do right now without any cooperation or participation from the people ourselves. And so the primary and not just cooperation, but cannot function in the face of an organized and united community that does not see the police as being helpful at all. So our fundamental objective everywhere we are is to build organization on the block and neighborhood level. And this means that we want to identify what we call block organizers, whose job would be simply to distribute the newsletter, our newsletter, No Cop Zone, to distribute that newsletter to all their neighbors. Every week we come out with the new edition. And again, the job of the block organizer would be to make sure that all the neighbors in their neighborhood and people in their social circle receives a copy. And on every on the last page of our newsletter, on every edition, you'll find the Know Your Rights guide. That informs the people of their legal rights when confronted by the police in a stop and frisk type of situation. And so we want to have block organizers out there in every community to keep this process going and to function as political leadership in their community, so that if and when there is a situation between the people and the police, there is a representative of black community control of the police that can in turn alert not only the people on their block, but the leadership in that city and even in the country to alert the greater organization around the particular issue, so that we can mobilize for defense of that African that was involved in that particular struggle. In the same way that Abu Jamal and other political prisoners get a certain kind of political defense, we want to have a movement in which any African that finds themselves in the clutches of the state can have the benefit of a political organization that can mobilize immediately for their freedom.
Okay.
And of course, can mobilize for the withdrawal of the police from our communities.
Yes, thank you. What is your opinion that you know, you're seeing gentrification just like everyone else in our community. What's your opinion on the fact that we are being gentrified?
That's an important issue. And it's important to recognize a couple of things when we talk about gentrification. And for those who are not familiar with the term, gentrification being the takeover by white people, particularly who in the last couple of decades been living in the suburbs and outlying areas of inner cities and African communities in those inner cities. And now in this period, we find this certain kind of movement amongst these white people to return to the cities and to take over the neighborhoods that have at this point traditionally been inhabited by African people. So this is going on in every city I've been to, actually, and it's a problem because it impacts black people on a number of levels. Because the average white family and white household in this country controls 10 times more wealth than the average African household. And we know that this is a direct result of slavery and colonialism. This is poverty and wealth that was inherited by white people as well as African people by the system of slavery and colonialism. And so today, when you find the white people who are moving back into the cities, bringing, I would say, imposing a new level of expense required to exist in these same communities. So now homeowners that are renting have the ability to charge more rent because the white people moving in can afford to pay more rent. And this is why the question of Barack Obama and white power and black face is so important, because Barack Obama, he was placed as the president because of his willingness to facilitate the massive theft of black homes by the U.S. government and by banks, capitalist institutions such as Merrill Lynch, Wells Fargo, and other banks who were involved in what is known as the subprime mortgage. In fact, one of Obama's campaign advisors, Penny Pritzker, she was the architect of the subprime mortgage, which essentially imposed extremely high interest rates on unwitting African homeowners, and in doing so, succeeded in literally stripping homes away from African families who had owned those homes for generations. And the subprime mortgage has been called by some of the leading economists in capitalist thought as the greatest transfer of wealth from the hands of black people since slavery itself. And this is extremely impactful on the African community and played a major role in what we find in the form of gentrification today. There were other tactics that the U.S. government employed to facilitate gentrification, which was directly related to the chemical warfare, the drug economy that the U.S. government imposed on our communities during the 1980s, the crack industry, which was controlled and orchestrated by the U.S. government, but also gave the U.S. government the political and legal justification to take homes away from black people in the name of shutting down, quote-unquote, crack houses, et cetera. And so you had literally programs that the federal government implemented during the 80s and 90s and even the early 2000s, such as like Hope 6. If one could Google Hope 6 or even the Housing and Urban Development HUD and other housing-related programs under the authority of the federal government, these programs, Weed and Seed is another one, but there's a lot of them state to state. And these programs literally gave the U.S. government the right to take homes away from black people and also to shut down public housing in the name of the so-called war on crime and drugs. So You have this this transference of the huge black populations that once lived in housing projects and Section 8 now being pushed out to the outlying counties and suburbs of the cities they used to live in, sometimes further away than that. And all of this, all of these were major factors that contributed to what we see in the form of gentrification today. But in closing, and I know we have more questions to answer, but this is really important. But in closing, I just want to say it's important to understand that the land upon which all these houses and real estate exist is land that was literally stolen by the U.S. government from the indigenous people. So this is not our homeland. When we talk about gentrification and the struggle against gentrification, we're not talking about a struggle for black people to somehow claim authority or ownership over any square inch of land in North America, because this was the land that was stolen from the indigenous people. However, the struggle against gentrification is a struggle for African community control of housing, is a struggle for black community control of the police, as well as other institutions that we rely on to exist, even as we live in, for lack of a better term, in foreign land, because this is not our land, you know. And so the struggle against gentrification is a struggle against this vicious system of white colonialism, and a system that can only be destroyed through the black community allying itself with the indigenous population of North America to defeat the colonial state, return the land that was stolen back to the indigenous people who are its rightful owners, and at the same time building up black power, black political power that is tied to an international struggle for African liberation for our people all over the world, and that has its base on the African continent itself.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, man, that was a lot of information there. Thank you, brother. On my past show, I have talked about there was a statement made on the news stating that 10 million people were going to be evicted between this year and next year. So I also realized that we as a people, when we buy our homes, we don't own the land that's under it. So if you do not pay your taxes or anything like that, you know, your home can be taken from you. And with this pandemic, a lot of people are not being able to pay their bills, so they will be evicted. And I believe the majority of the people that will be evicted may be people of color. Okay, so what is your opinion on the safety of our children in our communities today? Because there's been a lot of shootings of teenagers in the past months. And I want to know, what is your suggestion that we could do to help protect our children?
Yeah. Well, your question, I think, had two components, which are equally important. And I want to address the first part of it in terms of the long-term effects of the so-called Corona pandemic, which we call in our movement, the Uhuru movement and Black is Back, we call it the colonial virus, because the effects of Corona are not as so much the actual sickness itself, but the social, political, and economic impact that U.S. government has on our lives in response to dealing with the pandemic. And so, as you said, a lot of jobs have been lost, a lot of people unemployed, and some may have received temporary quote-unquote relief, which is not an honest term, but that's what the government calls it, the pandemic relief. In this period, it may not be as visible, but as you said, in the long term, which would be anywhere from 6 months to a year from now, we're going to see serious ramifications of the pandemic and in terms of how it's impacting us. And you named it in terms of evictions, inability to pay rent and other bills necessary. And it's important that we give definition to terms like ownership and, you know, because when you talk about ownership, Sister Betsy, essentially what you're talking about is a certain type of concession that the state has allowed for somebody to, you know, occupy or hold some quote-unquote property. It's an agreement in a certain kind of way. You know, when you buy a house, you get a deed, or you buy a car, you get the title, you know, or you buy anything, you get a receipt. And so these documents, bills of sale, are legal or contractual manifestations of this concession that exists between the state and the quote-unquote owner of whatever property you're talking about. You know, so the state will allow you to hold that house to the extent that it's in the interest of the state for that to occur. But like you said, there's conditions, the real estate tax, sales tax, and sometimes historically we have seen the U.S. government literally you know, just take people's property in the name of so-called national security. So there really isn't any such thing as ownership as such. And that's why we raise up the question of control, because there's a big difference between saying that you own something and that you control something. And to say we control doesn't necessarily mean that we paid for it. It means that we have built the necessary political power to prevent the state or any other force from being able to take that so-called property or resource away from us. And again, that does not necessarily require, in fact, money cannot achieve genuine control. Control is won as a consequence of political struggle and political power. So, for example, in Afghanistan, the U.S. military, since the year 2001, when the first George Bush was in office, has been waging a military assault on Afghanistan and the Taliban with the aim of taking over its government and imposing its will on the entire Afghani people. And the Taliban in particular have been leading resistance against U.S. military occupation. And at this point has driven the U.S. military out of our key territories within Afghanistan. And, you know, you can look it up right now. There's a headline. The most recent news around the struggle in Afghanistan will report that the Taliban have achieved control over critical territories throughout Afghanistan. And that wasn't a business agreement. That wasn't the Taliban didn't write a check to the U.S. government to own that land. They fought. They fought the U.S. military, and they defeated the U.S. military and thus achieved control over that territory. And when we talk about black community control of police or anything else, we're talking about not ownership, but political power that gives us the ability to prevent the U.S. government or any other external or foreign force from being able to lay their hands on that territory or resource.
Yes.
And so
thank
when
you.
We talk about the safety of our children, did you want me to talk about the safety of our children in that same discussion?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, it's really critical because the way things are going with the wiping out of, you know, like when I was growing up, I'm 44 years old, and, you know, I grew up in a time where there was vocational programs in high school. You could, you know, if you had enough, you know, I guess foresightedness, you could, you know, learn how to be a carpenter, go to tech, you know, high school, stuff like that. And even in prisons, they had vocational training available in earlier stages, but in part in response to the economic crisis that the U.S. economy has been experiencing for a very long time now, they've been wiping out these programs. There is no vocational training available for high school students in Philadelphia anymore. There is no vocational training available for prisoners in the state of Pennsylvania and most places around the country. And so when we talk about, and, you know, that's important because not to say that we have our aspirations to learn skills that make us qualified to work for the white man as a carpenter, but these skills are critical in terms of developing the black community in our own economy and our own interests, and, of course, Africa itself. So when we are separated as our children are being faced with a very bleak future under capitalism, being separated from the means of production, and that in part includes the skills and trades necessary to run our own economy, this is, you know, it speaks to a very bleak future under capitalism, you know. And so when you talk about the danger that our children are facing, it's very serious and very urgent, because not only in terms of the threat of the police gunning us down as they did Tamir Rice in Cleveland, and, you know, the countless other cases of police shooting us in the back, Walter Wallace right here in Philly, and, you know, other cases of police just literally gunning us down, stopping and frisking us, planting dope on us, and, you know, sending us off to prison. These are all clear and present dangers that our children face, and as well as the absence of resources, the imposition of the illegitimate sectors of the capitalist economy, the drug economy, and other aspects of so-called crime that breeds a certain form of horizontal violence that really, you know, threatens our children's safety. So these are all serious threats to our children's lives and futures. And the only real future is organization, so that we have the power to determine who in our community, from a black community control of police standpoint, part of our critical demand is that the black community must determine who gets to hold the gun, and not only who has the gun, but what they do with the gun, you know. And so this is a question.
Brother D.R., hold that thought for a minute. We have a track from Brother O.
Brothers, we all in pain. The man of God, he got his Bible, but he's in pain. The Muslim, he got his Quran. He's in pain.
I was born in the middle of the darkness, where the hopeless turn the heartless. So I wrote this, consider this God's gift, a shining light, overcome the hardships. Lucky for the chance to do my dance. Big L in Amsterdam, fell in love in France, lovers in Japan. Catch me if you can, a world tour with Diamond, my man. See me on the berry can. Spread hope to every man related to the struggle. It's a jungle. Sometimes it make me wonder about the violence and the hunger. So I speak about the blunders, try to teach the younger. Dancing in the rain, motivated by the thunder. I'm designed to hear teardrops and repeat it when the snares chop.
All of us are in pain. And do you know, brother, when you're in pain, your brain releases sentimental over this monumental instrumental, hoping that I don't offend you with my murder menu. I'm spitting afflicted nonfiction in the venue. Any likenesses to persons living or dead aren't coincidental. You ain't gotta be a higher scholar psychologist to realize they've replaced good journalists with gossip columnists. Young men be colleges wearing they pants androgynous. I stay high, surrounded by more greenery than botanists. I ain't asked for fame, tell a friend to tell a friend. I'm after words like the end of the end.
try to stop me every way that they can. But lyric fans try to tell them Chino's pen will live to kill again. For years, hated myself, duct tape my mouth. It's weird, cried so much, my tear ducts dried out. Aristotle, we startled to find out what part of my heart is gone. So many sacrificed their lives so we could ride on this hard form. But as long as you, as a man, lay down at night and dream about your greatness, but you are never able to manifest how great you are. My life from a childhood that was violent. Leonardo DiCaprio escaping out of Shutter Island. My ride is Poseidon, the Lamy in an insane asylum. Deciding what I should rhyme about and what to keep is private. Sometimes I find it hard to breathe like Colorado's climate. Mind so fluid that it could rival B-Real hydroponics. Lyric Jesus, lungs of bionic, sicker than violent vomit. Words slip on the front line while y'all just stand behind it. Rewind it, compare it to churches, conscious controversies. My words clutch your heart like old white racist women clutching their purses. When I retire, will rap forget me? Kinda like a 60s hippie, or beg me to come back like Prince and Darling Nikki. I remember seeing AG and Finesse freestyle, wishing that could be me up there, but I was just a juvenile. In time it become what I've died for. Even the Pope can give up his religion, but I can't let hip hop go. The pain of being non-productive makes you seek pleasure that keeps you non-productive. Yeah, non-productive. Look at it. Look at it, brother. One of you is in pain. We're in pain, brother. In pain. We live with constant pain. Nobody knows our pain but God, and us. And you know deep down inside you are as great as any man of greatness that you've heard. Read about or seen in real life, you know you are as great as any one of them, possibly greater.
We're now back with Brother Diop. Brother Diop, we have a caller in queue to speak to you. Brother
Hello.
Diop?
Yes, I'm
yes,
here.
Yes, we have a caller in queue to speak to you. Caller number one, who am I speaking with and where are you calling from?
Hey, Sister Bessie. Good evening, Queen Sister. This is Jared the Gifted One Thomas calling from Shreveport, Louisiana. How are you tonight?
Hi, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing fantastically well. I wanted to congratulate you on your International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcast nominee, Sister Bessie the Truther, on her ONE indicated station all-time connection record with her 37th all-time and her 5th all-time in the ONE Hall of Champions. Congratulations, Sister Betsy.
Oh, thank you, my brother, and I thank the listeners out there. Do you have a question for my guest, my brother?
I actually do not have a question, but I'm enjoying the topic that I want to listen all the way to the end of the show. So he's doing a fantastic job, and I'm definitely loving the topic on the regentrification of neighborhoods. So he's definitely speaking on it.
All right. Thank you, and thank you so much to the listeners. Brother Dia, now, in your letter that you give out to the public, I noticed that you are now enrolling children in self-defense. Now, for years, we've known that there are other races that have been training their children in self-defense. What is your opinion on teaching the children self-defense today?
It's critical. I mean, we see every day in the news, I mean, the white people's news, how African life is constantly under assault. So, you know, you turn on the TV, you see black people being killed by police or being experiencing some other form of colonial violence. It's even worse on social media. And so the need, and historically as well, the need for the African community to have the capacity to defend itself is extremely urgent. But it's important that even as we raise up this this particular call for self-defense, that we give it a political tone. Because when we talk about self-defense, we're not simply talking about one, and what is really a very small aspect of the question of self-defense and community security. And what I mean is like martial arts and particular tactics that we may use when in an immediate, you know, hand-to-hand kind of confrontation, or maybe even home invasion type of situation. These are the scenarios in which a lot of forces, especially like nationalists and petty bourgeois forces, put forth as the only definition of self-defense, aptitude and gun and firearm handling, which is important, all of which is extremely important. But what is most important is that the community as a whole be made aware of this relationship that we have with the system, because the threat to Black people's safety is not any particular individual that may try to, you know, strangle us or, you know, shoot at us, but the threat to our safety collectively is the white colonial system that is facilitated primarily under the leadership of the U.S. government and its state apparatus. By state, I mean the police, the prisons, the courts, the organization of violence that exists as a means of enforcing the policies that the government itself carries out. And when you look at, I don't know the specific statistics, but far more African people have died in ERs and hospital rooms from curable disease than we have from police brutality, to be honest. And not only that, but how many Black people killed or die earlier than white people. In fact, I think margin, like for an African man, you're not even going to live to be 65 years old, whereas a white man got at least 10 years on you, you know, and the same occurs for African women and white women, where the average white life is longer. And so when we look at it this way, you know, when those quote-unquote older Africans died, they were killed. You know, and there's a reason why the Black man dies at the age of 64 while the white man dies at 74. So when that 64-year-old African man dies, we have to say he was murdered by the white power colonial system. You know, as much as we say that Mike Brown was murdered by the white power colonial system, and the numbers of such casualties, it can be argued, outweigh the police brutality victims. And the point is that when we talk about security and Black community self-defense, we're talking about the need to build a movement and organization that overturns our overall relationship with the system. And we have identified different, you know, key components of this system, certain type of weak points or pressure points, if you will, that if were to be taken out, the system itself collapses. And as I said earlier in this interview, the police is the instrument that the white power system as a whole relies on to keep everything intact. If you take the police, if you take the guns out of the equation, while, you know, African people would impose a different type of determination on our interactions with these people every day. It's only because they can call up security when their sister's in the line at the food stamp office and struggling with the caseworker trying to prove that she makes X amount. And, you know, why would that even be the issue? You know, we demand the right to feed ourselves, to have enough food to feed, enough housing to house, enough clothes to clothe, you know. And that's the issue. And if they didn't have the police, then we would have been bum-rushed the system and took the resources that we need to survive and live to be 74 the same way that white man can. Yes.
Yes.
So
Brother
when
Diop,
I talk about the program,
thank you again.
You talk about the program. Yeah.
Right.
I wanted to
Brother
talk
Diop.
About the program. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, Brother Diop. We have another caller in queue. Caller number two, peace and blessings. Where are you calling from and who am I speaking with? Caller number two.
Caller, you're on the line right now.
Hello? Okay, we're going to go on. All right, back to our interview with Brother Diop.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, because Sister Desi, you did raise, Sister Desi, you did raise a question around the program for the youth. And,
yes,
you know, around community self-defense. And I wanted to give that background to, you know, to contextualize it, so to speak, you know, to help people understand how we define self-defense and the threat to our security. Now, and again, we recognize the police, the colonial state apparatus, as being that key component of the overall white capitalist colonialist system that imposes all types of hardship and violence against us in the hospitals and the housing and every other sector of life. But the police are the ones that make it all function. If you take the police out of the equation, then they can't do all of this stuff to us. We would take the resources back,
yes,
and use them in our own interest. So we talk about community self-defense. We are building a program to bring our children into a certain type of life and program where they learn this reality and participate, not only, you know, classroom setting kind of learn, but to participate in actual political work that we do as Black community control of the police, because the work we do, the distribution of the Know Your Rights information and the No Cop Zone newsletter, this is all a form of community self-defense. And we have literally, through this political work, have been able to advance the struggle to free Black people from prison. We have been able to advance the struggle to achieve justice for murdered Africans. And we've made other critical advances. And this all contributes to what we define as Black community self-defense. But in addition, we strongly believe in building the capacity to overturn our relationship with the colonial state, with the police. And so we focus on the Know Your Rights question and other legal and political tactics in terms of if somebody on your block gets arrested, then the block should be mobilized to pitch in for bail money and to form a political action committee to do the same thing we do for Mumia when any given African from your community is kidnapped. But lastly, we also train them in basic principles of tactical resistance. You know, we even, take them out there and study what the Vietnamese did to deal with the U.S. military that invaded their land. And, you know, we discuss ways through which we can emulate those actions, you know. And to the extent possible, we actually do emulate those actions. And so this is the essence of the program for Black community self-defense that we are bringing our youth into.
Oh, thank you.
Clear. Is that clear?
Yes, that's very clear,
okay,
my brother. That's very clear.
Yeah.
Because we do have a system that we have military and law enforcement combined.
In fact, there really is no difference in the two terms. Because to enforce the law means to use violence or the threat of violence as a means of making sure that the determination of that law, you know, is upheld. And that's what the military essentially is. In any society, the military is this organization of violence in place to, you know, to enforce the determinations of the laws written and, written by the rulers of that society. So the police is a military, you know, and just like the Marines were sent to Afghanistan to achieve political and economic objectives for the U.S. Government and, you know, capitalist ruling class, the police are deployed into the Black community throughout the U.S. for the same reason, you know, because it's all about, like you said earlier, Bessie, it's about, controlling resources, gentrification, you know, the same thing that's going on in Palestine, the Israeli, white, illegitimate white settler colonial government of Israel, literally gentrified Palestine. That, you know, that's what they did. They gentrified Palestine, you know, and that's mm-hmm. what's going on in North Philly. And the beauty yeah. of this Black Community Control the Police movement is that our work and activity is informed by revolutionary theory, you know, that can predict shit, you know, like we don't just wait for something to happen and then react to that immediate, you know, situation. Mike Brown got killed, so the movement becomes this campaign to get justice, to get the cop that killed Mike Brown, you know, locked up or whatever, you know, but, and not to say that's wrong, but how many times do we have to do this before we realize that it's not just these particular cops, but that they represent a system? So, you know, our work is informed by, you know, advanced revolutionary theory of African internationalism, Chairman O'Malley Ishitella. So through this theory, we can start to, you know, say how things are unfolding and how they will unfold and how we can move right now to make them unfold in a way that, you know, we want them to unfold. You know, we can literally do that. And like we were talking about, again, gentrification, the situation brought in Lehigh. We've seen it so many times around the country where they, you know, will wipe out entire neighborhoods to make a parking lot for a baseball stadium, or turn, you know, a factory like that of Gordon Lehigh into condominiums for white people. And then, of course, they're going to need parking, so something else got to go. And then, you know, they don't want nobody, you know, no Negro, you know, nothing that would, you know, be uncomfortable, be found to be uncomfortable for the white people that live there. They're going to want police there to make sure they get on and off the subway safely and all this, you know, all this kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. we see, you know, on the horizon an effort or a mission on the part of the Philadelphia police and the Philadelphia government to, you know, to create a new type of scenario. And we know that it's going to come at our expense. But if we get organized now, then we can make things go a different way, you know, in terms of raising up the demand for Black community control of housing and Black community control of the police and reparations.
Now, Brother Diop, I'm going to say something to you. You're very, very passionate. But, you know, we're going to try to, you know, I know you can go a country mile, man. Try to limit your answers, man, because I know you want to give it all tonight, and we can't stay on the midnight. So try to limit your answers, what's the best he's giving you. And we're going to try to bring on these callers, okay? I really appreciate that. All right, caller number three. You're on the line right now. This is the Bethany on the front porch right here in ONE.
Hi, peace and blessings. Who am I speaking to and where are you calling from?
You're speaking to the master sound therapist, master sound healer, and the grand architect of the universe.
Oh, Brother Hooney, my brother.
How you doing, mother, sister? Bessie, how you doing, special honored guest? And I'm liking, not just liking, I'm loving what I'm hearing. And, you know, also the author of a forthcoming booklet that I'm soon to hit this world with called Military Mindset. And trust me, it shows as of yesterday when the leader of the free world into law to make a federal holiday for Juneteenth. And what's so really, really crazy about it, you look at the original people of this planet Earth in the form of the first children of the Most High, or the first children, sons and daughters of Mother Nature and Father Time, who still are dependent and still looking for their captors to free them. And freedom mm-hmm. always, never have and never will be free. So thank you mm-hmm. so much for coming up here. And again, what's really, really sad is you've got a lot of people who can be singing and dancing, whatever, because they still look forward to someone else freeing them instead of rising up and do what it takes in order for to free themselves and each other. Thank you.
Thank you. Brother Hooney, can you give us your show and the next time it will be coming on? And thank you for your comment.
Yes, the name of my show is We Will Aware You, and the next show, matter of fact, I got two shows coming up in July, one July 1st, the other July 2nd. And I'll be posing a question, like, Is it a divine death or is it a sentence? 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you.
Thank you, let me say it one more time. You were fading it out, man. You know, whatever your headset is going on tonight. Say that topic again, please.
The name of the advancement, because I don't give no lessons. Lessons is a step backwards. I'm posing a question, life. Is it a divine gift or is it a sentence? Like that person who sits on the throne with that long black robe that have the authority to throw the gavel to say that you have life. So I'm posing that question out there, looking for some interaction between, you know, you as well, Sister Bessie, and the rest of the listening audience. Love you.
All right.
Hey,
love you.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, great show so far. Brother Diop, please be advised what I already asked you to do. Sister Bessie asked the question very directly. Brother Diop answered directly. And let's get it in.
Okay, Brother Diop, when it comes to you speaking to the people of the community, how difficult sometimes for you to try to relate your message to the community?
I don't find it difficult at all, as long as you have the strategy. Because, you know, there's various ways in which the mission, quote unquote, can be articulated. You know, I don't know how long you want me to spend answering this question, but for example, you know, if you take, you know, stand in front of the subway entrance, you know, anywhere in North Philly, and, you know, you're going to hand out a flyer. Better yet, if you stand in front of the courthouse, 13th and Filbert, for an hour, in terms of getting immediate response, you may have more success if you put out a flyer that somehow addresses the question of the court system as opposed to addressing, you know, the way in which the healthcare system is impacting our lives. Not to say that the healthcare system isn't, but it's a matter of, you know, directing or focusing on whatever the immediate contradiction that the people that you're talking to are experiencing, and would thus give them the ability to hear what you have to say about the system, because you've been able to relate what their immediate problem has to do with, you know, relate that to our criticism of the system as a whole. So as long as, you know, we are mindful of the conditions around which or in which we speak, so to speak, I think that we won't have much difficulty getting the message across.
All right, Brother Diop.
Whatever that means, getting the message across. I don't know what that really means. Go ahead.
Thank you, Brother Diop. Listen, could you tell our listeners where they could reach your website? And you have more than one website. Could you relate that to our listeners? So they can
our website is, the website is blackisbackcoalition.org, and the Facebook page is Black Community Control of Police. We're on Instagram as well, BCCP Uhuru UHURU.
Okay, thank you. Brother Diop, we have a track coming up. Hold on, please.
Pump your brakes. If they saying we ain't hot when they conversate, I'm on my entree. I shine like a constellation. One of many I've been repping for the Zulu nation. No time wasting. We stay ahead like Asians in zones. Check it like phones. I'm killing it lately. Bring back the basement like I choke them with laces. They'll never hold me back like a mouth full of braces. I get buckled up like corrupt in 98. Whatever coast I'm trying to hold the globe in the race. I'm Turtis. In the end, I still go the furthest. Curtains like Eminem call. You niggas hurting. In your feelings when he lost control. I'm having visions of you with commode. Throw up when I show up and this my easy flow. Diamond in the rough, the homie Diamond D should know. And it's the proof to show. Pump the brakes. If they saying we ain't hot when they conversate, they gotta pump the brakes. I'ma shine when I rhyme like the month of May. Pump the brakes. Before you crash, I'ma outlast so many of your days. Pump the brakes. If they saying we ain't hot when they conversate, yo, pump your brakes. tricks, we take no shorts. Me and my cohort score, giving you that much more. Nefarious efforts get met with a sword. So, oh, stay loyal and keep on the accord.
Right.
Spit a vision, send you back to the boards. And of course, we keep it classic, cause that's what this affords. On the course to the top, suckers hope that you flop. Then they see you with the legends and they hop on your jock. I'm amused at the moves, how they plan and they plot. And be shocked when you excel, want to get what you got. But I keep a cool head, pull a hammer out the pool shed, crack the bedrock, lay the foundation and watch. We get the building and they sure to catch feelings. I could bet you a million they ain't ready for the realest.
Nope.
Deal with it. You ain't talking about no real limits. Actors and gimmicks, wrap it up, yo, you finished. Diminished. The minute you was hoeing for that rose gold, it's that same minute that I assume the control. Fraudulent fakes can carry the weight with rhapsody, boogie beat, diamond digging and crates of pump breaks, nigga.
Pump, 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 break.
If they saying we ain't hot when they conversate, they gotta pump, 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 break. I'ma shine when I rhyme like the month of May. They like, pump, 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 break. When you crash, I'ma outlast so many of days, days.
Pump, 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 break.
If they saying we ain't hot when they conversate, it's like
dropping the speed, but slowing and sowing a seed. Obstacles breathe, the air that you need. Opposition to the vision keeps you wishing on your mission focus. Whatever the speed, way you open, better exceed. Not just hoping, claim and call it as my own it. Never doubting cause I'm on it. Best believe and achieve and the gifts we needin'. Excellence is the call to beacon. Answer it when the phone is ringing. Hello? Dial toning, you wasn't even there yet. Expect, already ready for the next step. While you still waiting on a check, just come equipped before you get lost. Brace yourself and pay the cost to be the boss. Just cause we win don't mean we never lost. Just learn from it, you'll travel far,
far, far.
We got to raise the bar, stars.
Pump, 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 break. If they saying we ain't hot when they conversate, they gotta pump, 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 break. I'ma shine when I rhyme like the month of May.
Pump, 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 break.
When you crash, I'ma outlast so many of your days, new days.
Pump, 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 break.
If they saying we ain't hot when they conversate, it's like
Brother D-Hop, my brother.
Yeah,
brother D-Hop. Oh, you're a brother. This is my last question for you this evening. What would you say to the youth today?
Besides what I've already said, what would I say to the viewers today?
Yes, to give the youth strength and courage. What would you say to them today?
Do 100 muscle downs at least every 48 hours and join Black Community Control the Police.
All right. I want to thank you for being so informative to my audience. And brothers and sisters out there, Black is Back Coalition.org, Black Community Control of Police. Check Brother Diop out on the site, and you can support him and donate if you like, because he's doing a work in the community that a lot of people do not have the strength or courage to do. So I want to thank my brother for all the information that he has given us. And I hope that you all really listen around the world what our people are going through in the United States. Black people and other people are going through in the United States. If it's happening here.
Oh, I just want to say one thing.
Hold on a minute. If it's happening here, it's coming to you. Brother Diop, yes.
Yeah. This is, in Philadelphia right now, there's been this dispatch throughout the media talking about how the police are going to crack down, quote-unquote, on dirt bikes and what they call rugged vehicles or something like this. And I just want to tell all my comrades on two wheels out there that you got to run. Don't let the pigs catch you. You know what I mean? Give them a chase. And The fact is that the law states that they can't chase you for traffic violations. So, you know, what's the problem? You got to run. But more than that, we got to build a movement that's tied to black community control and the police that condemns the pigs for putting the safety of everybody in the community at risk in the name of taking somebody's dirt bike. This is evidence that the police value private property more than they do, quote unquote, innocent black life. So this is why we got to build the movement for black community control of the police and fight to get these pigs out of our community and to immobilize them. You know, everything from, you know, shooting holes in their windows to flattening their tires should be considered meaningful, viable tactics of resistance to deconstruct the colonial state.
Thank you, Brother Diop. Also, I'd like to say recently on the news, someone on a dirt bike shot someone. So, brothers, if you're out there, enjoy your ride. But I'm asking you not to commit a crime while you're doing it. You're bringing trouble to you as drivers of those bikes. So stop committing crimes while you're on those bikes. All
you know
right.
what, Bess? I got to say something about that. I got to say something about that before we bring on the callers. And Brother Diop, you said some things tonight. And, of course, the views and comments of our guests. And, you know, it's not necessarily the views of only Dynasty and its affiliates. But listen to this. I believe that it was an agent, okay, that was on that bike.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because here's a situation. Let me speak. It's a situation where now all of a sudden the last 2 weeks people are talking about these dirt bikes and how they are a menace, air pollution and all that. And it's very, very, very funny that now of course this is a worldwide program. Our brother was talking about places in the city of Philadelphia like Broad and Lehigh and all that. So people who are not from Philadelphia don't know what you're talking about, but we do. But we're going to let them know. He was talking about things that's going on in the city of Philadelphia. Now, it's real funny that there's been a concentrated effort to rid, you know, air pollution on these bikes, which is totally ludicrous. But it's kind of funny how a brother, they say that, you know, it was a road rage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the person who did not get shot, the guy that went into the store, he said it was no argument. The guy was on a dirt bike. He went around. He looked at the guy before he shot him. Then he did a U-turn and shot him. So, you know, fake. It's not illegal yet. We're bringing our caller right now. Caller, you've been waiting so patiently. Welcome to the Front Porch by Sister Bessie the Truth.
Hi. Peace and blessings. Welcome. Who am I speaking to and where are you calling from?
Peace and blessings. This is the goddess. This is Lena Blue. How are you?
Hi, my sister. How are you?
I'm excellent. And also greetings to our Brother Diop. Thank you so much for bringing forth all this information. I was listening in about the your content about no cop zone, that strategy themselves, basically. I wanted to ask Brother Diop, how long do you think something like that would take to roll out across the country? And do we have resources that can help put something like this in place?
So the first part of your question, in terms of how long it would take, what's the first part of your question?
How long would it take to roll out, you know, no cop?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we have a very precise and scientific strategy in place in terms of, you know, establishing black organizers in cities where we actually have organizational activity, in cities where we do not. We call on people to become the local organizer for black community control of the police, and your task would be to begin distribution of the newsletter and to find as many people in your circle to participate in at minimum holding a month-long branch building intensive where we would have an organizer, probably myself, come into the area and actually provide training as to how to build the organization, and that intensive would end with a branch building event where we have been postering and doing outreach to build for those previous weeks, and the goal of such event to be to recruit law enforcement into the local organization to go out, become block organizers, and carry out the strategy. So in terms of how listeners right now can plug into that, because the question of how long will it take is directly linked to the question of, you know, who that is listening right now, how many among us are willing to do what I'm asking right now. If you are, please do contact us. In fact, you can email us at bccp.uhuru, which is uhuru@gmail.com, or you can call us at 215-606-8327, and you know, we'll initiate that discussion. But the more of you who are listening right now who have the ability to make that step forward, then the faster our goals will be achieved. We also, you know, have other tactics in place to attract forces from areas where we do not currently exist. We do a weekly broadcast on Facebook Live and Zoom called No Cop Zone Live, and you can look at previous sessions on hashtag No Cop Zone Live, where we get reports from local work happening in different places, as well as political overview by myself. And, you know, that's another forum, a platform that we use to attract, you know, new members in remote locations. But the more forces who are able to simply say, yeah, I wanna be a part of this, I want to do this, the more we have, the faster we'll reach our destination. What was the next part of the question?
Well, I guess my other question would be related to this. How would something like this be funded? What's the strategy for funding?
Well, it's something that funding, in terms of the specific branch building project that we're talking about, you're going to have to solve the problem of getting the venue to hold this event at the end of the month-long intensive. You would be responsible for coming up with the photocopies of the newsletter that we would use to build the event. You know, we would have to get a banner printed out for, you know, $65. The costs are minimal in terms of initiating the strategy, and the deeper your organizational capacity, the more forces that you are able to recruit in your area, the more type of action you can be a part of. And of course, that would require more resources, more funding, but it would be your responsibility to carry out that fundraising, to find ways to raise the money to advance your objectives as Black Community Control of the Police. And we, you know, have recommended tools that you can use, but there's, I'm sure, a number of ways, even from simply everybody that we know that's chipping in a hat to pay for specifically what we need to do what we are talking about doing. And, you know, which is, kind of takes the mystery out of how much money do we need. It may not be as much as you think in terms of actually building an organization that can change the landscape, the political landscape in your city. But please do contact us, because we can have, you know, more detailed discussion on how this can all happen, because we have an answer for all your questions. Trust me. You know.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Sister Lena.
Thank you.
Can you tell us when your time your show is, and when, what day and everything, please?
Sure. My show is Awakening the Goddess, the spirituality show, and it will, the next time we will broadcast will be July the 7th, Wednesday at 9:30 p.m., where we'll be interviewing a Yoruba priest.
Lena, thank you so much for your question. I hope he answered it properly, and thank
Absolutely.
You for your support, sister.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Okay, Brother Diop, I want to thank you for coming on and being so informative. And I hope that the listeners will call or go on the website or donate to support the achievement that you want to do for the community. And I appreciate you for what you do. And I hope everybody else appreciated his conversation and his intelligence on telling us what is going on in the community of Philadelphia and around the United States. Now, people around the world know what's going on, and you can make your own towards controlling your own community. Brother O?
Well, we do have one more caller to call in tonight.
Oh, we do?
And calling on live right now with Sister Bessie and the Front Porch.
Peace and blessings.
Hey. You friend, Will of God, how you living?
Oh, hey, Will of God, how are you?
Boy, I'm over here getting late. I'm all late. I'm missing out on all types of opportunities to see and hear freedom, but I caught the extra side of the street, and I was like, hold up, what did they just say? Woo! Did that man say, hold up, everybody's riding them dune buggies and them bikes, run away. I said, oh, shoot. Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
Woo. I got to admit, them kids be running around like romper boom out there. So, you know, sometimes they might want to be careful before they run over my kid because I don't know how they living. But up in Philly, it's a rude awakening.
Sure.
If they ain't crazy, they can become crazy because you could ride a bike and be like, let me snatch that pocketbook. You know what I'm saying? Keep it going.
Yeah.
We got to watch out, too, with that, because these kids can be, like, you know, less common sense. You know, they like having so much fun that some of them might say, after they watch the new movie, hey, let's do The Purge and run away on our bikes. I'm not hoping that happens. Or they might say, you know what? We saw this new movie and the devil made me do it. I'm hoping that don't happen. You know?
Yeah.
But, yo, man, what's his name? How you living, Captain?
Dia.
What's good? Hey, what's going on, my man? My sister, what's going on?
I don't know, man. Listen, I got to listen to the show after the show's over so I can catch up because right now I'm mustard and I just can't catch up. You know what I'm talking about? I know you dropping some flavor because you see that the law is kind of confiscated or polluted or different, I should say. And we just being captivated by all the stuff that's happening. Didn't they say back in the day that the cops was, how do they say it?
The
back
posse?
In the day, cops was, it's like slavery. I forgot how they put it. You know what I'm talking about, Sister Bessie?
Yes, yes. They also had the dogs where they hunted down the slaves.
Yeah, there it is. And so it's a rude awakening because you got people like, I want to grow up and be a police officer. Now, I ain't going to hate on them because I got some family that is some. But that's not, was not part of my being. I don't even want my kids to say that to me because if you really look at it, some of them cops is good, some of them are bad, but they also have to go through some really problems, like mind problems. Like they got to go through seeing their friends getting shot, like they're in the army or something, get shot in the face, or they seeing all types of crazy stuff. And then they got to go home with their families like, yo, what happened? Well, I was touching this person, and they had syphilis, gonorrhea, and they had daggone AIDS. But I love you. And she's looking at you like, man, you better what? Not touch. So I tell people, you know, we need to understand that we do need help, but just think about what you're going to do when you're in that lifestyle, because you will have to abide the law by any means necessary once you sign that dotted line, even if you got to go against your own family members.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, babe, keep up the good work, Sister Bessie. My show, Too Thorough, I'm going in. Why not? United we stand, divided we fall. Let's get it. Y'all keep it funky.
When is your show coming up, Brother Will?
Oh, Friday. Friday, the last, fourth Friday of the month. Thank God the Sixers won because I made my new 76ers channel, WIP, and God knows I feel good now because they're going to play it again. So let's get it.
All right. Thank you, brother. All right, Brother Diop, thank you so much for everything that you've said tonight. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Now we're gonna bring on Brother Ngozi.
Well, I want to thank our brother for coming on this program tonight. He had a lot of insightful words tonight. Of course, as CEO, no. Guys, do not go out and shoot police cars. Don't do that, okay? I think that was a metaphoric rape. I mean, you have to fight the power that is, but don't get yourself in trouble to what he just talked about, you know, police, you know what I mean? You know, against poor people leased by rich people. Police. Okay? Mm-hmm. So let's not do that, okay? We don't advocate that here at Only Dynasty. Okay? All right? That's it. I said what I said. Congratulations to Sister Bessie on her 37th Only Syndicated Station All-Time Connection record. Very proud of you. Finally breaking, you know, you shared that with Darlene for a little while, and now you are alone by yourself, fifth all-time, the Only Hall of Champions. So proud of you and what you have done for this outstanding network. Of course, this young lady is the International Internet Radio Broadcasting nominee for the class of 2021, and I believe in October she will be an enshrining. So all the folks out there, please, 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 correspondents with not only I, but Terrence Strength, who is her campaign manager. Make sure Terrence will share in his next show all correspondence to his email. But definitely, you have two emails. Please forward all correspondence to lbeverly17@gmail.com. Tomorrow night on these Only Stations, we come back, and I know Coach is going to be excited. The Sixers won tonight. Anybody who's, you know, loves Philadelphia sports or whatever around the country, this network does not, you know, represent one team. I'm glad Will said that, but a lot of other teams won as well. And we're going to, you know, celebrate that with Huddle Sports Station tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern. Daylight time when he's on these stations. And, of course, Only Syndicated has advertised the Only, which is Oladela and Ghosty Enterprise Research, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as in Ghosty Prime Time 1 at Damon.com. We're in Ghosty Time both for Twitter and Instagram. Oladela and Ghosty appearance at Google+. Oladela and Malaywa and Ghosty at Facebook, as well as our business page, The Front Porch, as well as the historic, determined, and motivated Online Now Network. And Bessie, we're about to celebrate 5 years on the air with Damon Network. Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
On the 27th of June, we'll have a whole Damon Network anniversary week. And I cannot wait for that. I got some surprises for all of you guys, okay? And, of course, I am the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrinee as producer for the class of 2021, as well as your mother and father's favorite producer, Oladela Malaywa Ghosty, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. Thank you so much, Bessie. And look, after all this, you got 2 minutes left to go on the program.
Thank you, listeners, for listening to my guest. I've always said I support the good law enforcement. I do not support the bad law enforcement. This show was to enlighten you about the bad law enforcement. So I'm not here to attack law enforcement, but we are supporting the good cops out there that do right to the community. So I want to thank you for all the listeners out there, and I will see you again in 4 weeks. Peace and blessings to you, and stay safe.